All right, we are in Proverbs 17, getting ready for verse 27. Hopefully you have your little handy-dandy notebook nearby so that you can jot down references if you see a proverb here that would be useful to yourself or to someone else, that you can memorize it and have it ready to go the next time the situation it references comes up. Proverbs 17:27 says, "Whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding." So this is another one of those proverbs encouraging us to hold our fire, to hold our mouth, hold our tongue, keep our response measured by thoughtful wisdom. It actually kind of feeds into the next one. Verse 28 says, "Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent." So to wait and think before you speak is a marker of wisdom. And so even a foolish person that takes a few moments before he pops off, during those few moments of silence, might be considered wise. Of course, the moment they open their mouth and start spouting their nonsense that's self-centered, it'll be proved otherwise. But the wisdom advice from King Solomon is, think before you speak. Don't react hastily. Don't react in anger and emotion. Process it before you respond. Chapter 18. "Whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment." This is kind of a backhanded way of saying that you need to have multiple counselors or advisors in your life. And when I say counselors and advisors, I don't mean like professionals necessarily. I mean, you need to bounce things off other people before you make some of these big decisions. A person who never, ever seeks the advice of others is kind of like this indicates. They're kind of self-centered. They're all into themselves. And let's face it, folks, if we only react based on our knowledge base, that's pretty narrow. One of the reasons that we advise Bible study and the soaking up of things like the book of Proverbs is because it adds to our knowledge base. It extends our database of information that we act upon. So, seek counsel. Verse 2, "A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion." And boy, oh boy, ain't that the truth. Remember, a fool, in the biblical sense, the wisdom literature sense, is someone who says, "There is no God," which is just their way of saying, nobody is the boss over me. Nobody's smarter than me. Nobody gets to tell me what to do. I'm the one that gets to decide everything. Well, you know, when that starts being expressed in words, that does not come off well. When somebody starts saying that no one knows more about this topic or that topic than they, whatever comes out of their mouth next is probably not going to be wise. Verse number 3. "When wickedness comes, contempt comes also. And with dishonor comes disgrace." So sin is the choice to do self-centered, against God things. And that's going to bring bad outcomes, eventually, if not immediately. And that includes contempt and disgrace. Verse 4, The words of a man's mouth are deep waters. The fountain of wisdom is a bubbling brook. Now, I think verse 4 is assuming that the man in this passage is a wise person. That parallels him to the second half of the verse would probably hold true. And so a wise man's mouth has deep waters of wisdom in it. And the idea would be that we need to take some time and drink that in, to soak that up. Verse number 5. It is not good to be partial to the wicked, or to deprive the righteous of justice. Fairness is a really important principle in God's universe. Everybody needs to be treated equally and fairly. And if choices are made in favor of the wicked or against the righteous, neither one of them is going to play out well. Verse number 6, and I'm already smiling and laughing about this. A fool's lips walk into a fight, and his mouth invites a beating. I think we have a more modern one, that you should never let your mouth write a check that your body can't cash. And that's not about thinking that you can fight your way through an argument. It's about you shouldn't be saying things that get you in trouble with other people. The beating here in verse 6 is actually a reference to corporal punishment. And that would be a legal response to popping off when you shouldn't have. And you end up getting some swats up to 40 in the old Mosaic code. Verse 7, a fool's mouth is his ruin, and his lips are a snare to his soul. We see this principle repeated a lot, that speaking beyond wisdom brings trouble. Popping off, as I keep saying, brings trouble. Smarting off brings trouble. It's much better to keep those lips zipped until you know what's about to come out of them is appropriate, because trouble is brought on by the tongue and by the mouth and by the lips. You know, in the book of James, James clearly was a reader of the book of Proverbs, by the way. He talks about the tongue being a restless evil, that it sets everything on fire, having been set on fire by the very fires of hell itself. So you got to get control of the tongue. You got to get control of the mouth. You got to get control of your speaking. Bite that tongue if you need to. Verse number 8, the words of a whisperer here is the idea of somebody that's gossiping, are like delicious morsels that go down into the inward parts of the body. Now, this is an acknowledgement of a bad reality. People like to hear the dirt on other people. People like to hear the juicy bits of gossip. Well, that doesn't mean it's good. In fact, it's being, I think, intimated that, yeah, it may taste good to begin with, but it's bad in the end. So don't participate in this. Don't be the whisperer, and don't be the person that's eaten up the delicious morsels of gossip. Verse number 9. Whoever is slack in his work is a brother to him who destroys. Laziness, of course, is one of the principles that is addressed in the book of Proverbs repeatedly. And here It's said that if you are lazy in what you do, it's very closely related to tearing things down, because you're just not given your best work product. You're not given a day's work for a day's pay. Verse 10, my wife has recommended this more than once as a good memory verse. The name of he who is a strong tower. The righteous man runs into it and is safe. So what's a tower all about? This is like a military tower. And so trouble's coming onto the scene, and what do? You run to the fortified position and lock the door and stay safe until the danger is past. Well, that's God. The name, he who is like that. When we see trouble coming, we run to the Lord's protection. We run to the Lord's arms in order to be safe. Verse 11. A rich man's wealth is his strong city, and like a high wall in his imagination. Now, it's a little bit tongue-in-cheek here. Wealthy people sometimes think that they can't be touched because they are wealthy. And that is not always the case, because if they are wealthy but not wise, if they are wealthy but not righteous, they can still be touched, either by bad situations because of their foolishness or by God's judgment. But generally speaking, yes, wealthy people do seem to be better protected. They got a little bit more buffer around them than most of us that have just enough or a little extra. Verse 12. Before destruction, a man's heart is haughty, but humility comes before honor. So got a nice contrast here between the two things that you can live your life as. If you're full of yourself, well, the end result of that's going to be destruction eventually. But if you are humble, if you are meek, if you cast yourself upon the Lord's choices by your humbleness, your humility, then he can lift you up at just the right time. Verse 13. And this one, I think this is one of the ones that I need to keep in my mind, because I make the same mistake a lot of us make that are attended to as counselors or people come to us to ask advice. And that is, sometimes we want to fix the problem too quick, and we don't hear all the different ins and outs of it. And so I freely acknowledge that this is an area that I work on. If one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame. We need to listen to the full account. We need to listen to all the different sides. Otherwise, we won't have the proper picture to which we should respond by God's word and God's way. All right? Verse number 14. A man's spirit will endure sickness, but a crushed spirit who can bear? So to be physically ill, we can deal with that a lot of times. But to be emotionally ill, to be spiritually broken, how hard that is to come back from. Verse 15. An intelligent heart acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. Now, remember, the heart is about making choices. So an intelligent heart, a wise heart, is going to try to add more information to the database, get more wisdom, get more knowledge. And that includes, using your ears to to soak up the advice of other people on the same topic. And so this is a very important part of the believer's lifestyle, is to not remain static, but to always soak up more and more of God's wisdom, which is why I recommend that you and I attend to the book of Proverbs on a fairly regular basis, and definitely to the Word of God as a total on a very regular basis. We need that database. Verse 16, a man's gift makes room for him and brings him before the great. Now, this would be a positive idea of the gift, so I would think of it in the same relationship as the old-fashioned tip, which was to ensure promptness. It was something to grease the wheels ahead of time, and so this is advice given by King Solomon to his sons, that treating people well will go a long ways in getting them to listen to you. Verse number 17. The one who states his case first seems right until the other comes and examines him. This is the whole reason why in a court of law we have both sides have to give their evidence and have their witnesses, and they have the privilege of cross-examination and things like that. Because if one person tells the story, then we tend to listen to that with an open mind and go, well, that seems pretty reasonable. I think maybe that's how it happened. Until the other side comes on the scene and starts presenting the additional evidence or contradictory information, and then we realize, oh, well, this is not as easy as I thought. I have to think through this thing. And so that really is what verse 17 is about, is listen to both sides. And I'm telling you, folks, we live in a very polarized world today with echo chambers that people go to listen to information that just simply affirms what they already believe. And neither side makes a habit of listening to the other side carefully. And so we've got to be better about that. Verse number 18. The lot puts an end to quarrels and decides between powerful contenders. This is a reference to the divine lot that we saw back at the end of chapter 15 or 16, I don't remember which it was. It was, the lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision belongs to he who is. And what it was a idea, or what was a reference to, is that when all things are equal, that the decision can be left into the Lord's hands. You pray over it, and they cast the lots, and both parties have already decided that whatever the lot says, that's what they will go with. And so that's what it's referencing here. It's really related to what happened in the book of Acts chapter 1, when the apostles understood that they needed a 12th apostle to complete the work of the Great Commission. They came up with two equally qualified persons who had been with the Lord from the time of John the Immerser's baptisms and the death and resurrection of Jesus. But they couldn't figure out which one they should have. So they prayed to God, you choose. They cast a lot, and that's how Matthias became the replacement for Judas. And so on the day of Pentecost, he was the guy that was supernaturally charged with the Holy Spirit and spoke with unlearned languages and all of that. And so we know that God had chosen him by that divine lot. So that's how you resolve the issue. It's not a randomness. This is not a flipping of the coin. This is resorting to God to make a decision when all other things are equal based on biblical principles. Verse number 19. A brother offended is more unyielding than a strong city, and quarreling is like the bars of a castle. So if you have gotten into an argument with somebody that is a close friend of yours, perhaps even a literal relative, they can be very hard to get back into right relationship with if you have really pushed buttons. And so what's the advice? I think it's intimated. Don't let it get that far. Don't offend your brother. Don't let the quarreling get to such a point that it is hard to win them back. Verse number 20. From the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach is satisfied. He is satisfied by the yield of his lips. Interesting way of phrasing here, that if you keep a good mouth in your head, lips on your face, tongue in your mouth, then things are going to go better for you in life, and you're not going to be running into problems of essentials. It is interesting how many people there are out there that can't keep a job because they can't keep their mouth properly shut. And so if you fall into that category, this might be one of your proverbs to memorize, to make sure that your mouth helps you keep the job, not lose the job. Verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. You actually see this, I think, talked about in Matthew by Jesus. But the idea is that what we say is very powerful. It can bring life to people's lives. I mean, literally and figuratively, but it can also bring death. So we need to think before we speak. And if we have love that controls what we say, that is going to result in our mouth bringing blessings upon ourselves and other people around us. That's the eating of its fruit there. Verse 22. A very good one for those of us that have been married. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from he who is. Amen to that. You got a good wife, then God has blessed you greatly. And, of course, I've told you before, we've got a male that's writing these things down. So he's always viewing these things from his perspective. He's writing to mostly his young men, his sons, and so he's targeting a male perspective. For those of you that are of the female persuasion, just kind of flip the script a little bit, and you'll get the same principle. If you get a good husband, you've got a blessing from God, and you need to thank him for it. Verse 23, the poor use entreaties, but the rich answer roughly. This is a parable of, or a proverb of observation. Poor people don't have any power. Remember, poor has the sense of not enough. They don't even have all of the essentials. And so they have no power. And so if they need help, if they need something, they have to practically beg for it. But rich people, they got plenty of stuff. They got plenty of power, plenty of money, and so they don't think they have to be polite to anybody. Now, that's not true across the board about rich people, but this is, like I said, a proverb of observation. Rich people very often act like they don't have to be nice, that everybody needs to do what they want because they're rich, because they're powerful. And that's not good. I thank God for those of you that are wealthy, that are rich, that don't carry on that way. God bless you, and may your tribe increase. Verse 24, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. So the first line is a bit of a tongue-in-cheek thing. You might have plenty of people around you, but still end up in a mess because those people apparently aren't really your friends. They're what we sometimes refer to as fair-weather friends. As long as things are going well, they're there. But if it goes bad, you're on your own, bud. That's definitely not to be preferred over this second thing. To have an intimate friend, a best friend, who sticks with you through thick and thin, who never abandons you. Oh, that's so much better. I thank God for my best friend, my wife. We have been together through an awful lot of stuff, and she is a blessing from God. Verse 1 of chapter 19. Better is a poor person who walks in his integrity than one who is crooked in speech and is a fool. So, better to be poor and wise and right or righteous than to be somebody that uses language to cheat other people and is all full of themselves. And just because they have wealth from that, that doesn't make them better. It makes them worse. And so this is another one of those proverbs of the you want to choose the one over the other type. Mark your place. We'll get back into the word next time we have opportunity.